850 The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You're tuned to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. I'm Amon, your host for the next 2 hours, along with Larry here. Was walking around looking for another. Sir, no, you're not online. You're not on. Your mic is not on.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're on now.
Feel my pain.
Our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. And our sponsors today are Computer Renaissance with two area locations. One at Crossroads Shopping Center in Cary and the other one in Raleigh in the North Hills Plaza across from North Hills Mall. Pay them a visit. Also brought to you by Mindspring, kindler, gentler internet provider. With speedy, reliable connection to the internet, Mindspring also has web page hosting plans, domain name registration, training classes, and website hosting for business. Contact Mindspring today at 1-888-MSPRING or at www.mindspring.com. With us in the studio also today are two great guys from Bay Networks. Spence Schumacher?
Either way is fine.
Either way is fine. Say it again so I can adjust the mic.
Hello there.
Whoa. Okay. And Steve Jackson?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Those of you who don't know what Bay Networks are all about, Bay Networks is a company that builds and supply networking equipment. Is that the right way to put it?
We're the world's second largest supplier of computer networking hardware.
The second?
Yeah.
You don't have to look at me when you talk.
There is a larger company, however.
Nobody argues with me here. No, there isn't.
Oh, okay. I guess I got told what's so there.
The interesting thing is that there's enough business out there for all of us.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, sure.
There is. Again, our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. The company is headquartered on the West Coast.
Santa Clara, California. We have an operation here at RTP and facilities elsewhere, Massachusetts and overseas as well. It's we're about 6,700 employees now.
That's almost 7,000.
Yeah, almost 7,000 employees worldwide, and coming up on $3 billion a year in annual revenues.
All right, let's talk a little bit about things that can be helped by Bay Networks. And being an ISP, I know what happens on the backbone where everything comes to a halt at certain places, and we always blame the equipment of that other company, Cisco. And it's not just us; it's apparently people that really know what they're talking about. Obviously, I don't go and visit those bottlenecks myself, but those people that do say that this is where the problem is, and apparently Cisco also. At one time or another in the past, admitted that there was a problem with some of their bigger routers.
Yes, that's correct.
How did it happen that equipment that is so let's say it straight out is bad in a way, or cannot withstand the pressure, is in all those key points on the internet and is not being changed, replaced.
Well, who's going to pay?
It's over time that the infrastructure has been installed.
Uh-huh.
And Cisco has been very successful in penetrating a lot of different marketplaces, and they were there as one of the first companies providing.
Yeah, but what does it take today to take a box out and plug another one in?
Well, there's a big configuration issue. It's sort of like, gee, you know, I bought that car 2 years ago, and the new model has a motor that's 40% more horsepower and twice as much gas mileage. Let me just go change the motor. Well, not going to happen. To start with, the motor isn't free.
Right.
It takes a great deal of effort to go and install the thing and,
right.
and go through all of that effort. What you might as well do is buy a whole new car, and that's what the Internet 2 is all about. Internet 2 is being built now to supersede the existing Internet.
Okay, so are you saying that if one of the carriers over at May East
yes.
would like to get a Bay Network router
yes.
that will perform supposedly better than the one that they have there now that keeps on
about four
crapping on?
About four times faster, yes, that's right.
Then it's really not practical for them to do it?
Oh, we can make it practical for them. There's probably some other issues that are more political. Or
but no. Let's we don't get into politics here.
Oh,
okay. Technically.
Okay.
Technically,
but it's unfortunate though that politics is what drives a lot of the marketplace. Because if you were to stand up products side by side and do a technical comparison,
and people have,
it usually the better technology wins. But unfortunately, just like we see, you know, in so many other aspects of, you know, politics and in life, it all depends on who you know, and it all depends on who has the most influence. So as far as the kind of things that Bay does that is unique or unusual in the marketplace, is that we try to win business based on technology, not on politics, not on, you know, whether we have the better salesmanship. You know, obviously we don't have as good a marketing as other companies because people don't know Bay as a brand name the way they know Cisco. But there are, for example, people don't know that 80% of the world's financial transactions run on Bay Network's routers. And the reason for that is because there's certain things built into the architecture of a Bay product that aren't there in Cisco.
Mm-hmm.
Because we support multiprocessor routers where you can actually have one card in the router fail and the router will continue to work. You can actually lose a protocol in the router and continue to work.
In Cisco's defense, they were there first. And the fact of the matter is, in many cases, the spoils go to the first in, sort of like the nuclear fallout shelter. The first one in gets all the food and they lock the doors. Very much the same thing in this industry. The first company to produce the products got the lion's share of the market. And guess what? It's very difficult to make inroads into accounts where they've been very successful in the past. Now, of course, Cisco's greatest liability is their legacy environment. All the installed base of products and technology mm-hmm. that they've had for a number of years is sitting there, and there's a great deal of expertise built up around them. You know, for all that there can be said about this, is very similar to the old mainframe technology from IBM. There's still a lot of them out there, and there's a great demand for that kind of...
Okay, but I want to go back to what we were talking before about replacing a bad or a slow, too small for the job router, and you were saying that that it's you might as well go and buy a new car because you're starting replacing little parts in it that are going to cost a lot, and that's what Internet 2 is about.
Yes.
Are you telling me that it's cheaper in the eyes of those people that are constructing that thing to actually start a new backbone? In a way, it's a new backbone.
It is. It's a completely independent and new backbone. But I wouldn't say that this new backbone, that is the Internet 2, will be a quantum leap mm-hmm. ahead. It's not just an incremental increase. See, what you're talking about, the question I hear you asking is, gee, can I make a small increase in performance to match or slightly exceed today's demands? Well, that's very good, and that fixes it for now.
Right.
Okay, that's like, and I think that should be done. And yes, we should install Bay routers, and I can talk to you for hours about that topic, obviously.
But
the thing which you really, really want to do is say, no, don't plan for today or tomorrow or next week or even the end of 1998. How about 2005? Or 2011, that's what Internet 2 is about. To build the new Internet to support the kind of applications that businesses rely upon today with that level of reliability and service and what have you. And that's where this is all going. So in the short term, concerns like you're voicing now, certainly that's an issue. But in the long term, I think the power of Internet 2 is going to really amaze people, just amaze them.
How can we talk about having these... incredible high-speed connections into homes if the backbone won't support that.
I know, this is what I always say. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
do the math.
Yeah.
Add it up. Here's 400,000 homes, each generating X amount of traffic. So you take that amount of traffic times 400,000. That's more than the Internet carries today.
Well, you don't even have to do that kind of difficult figuring out. If you figure on all the people today that are using, let's say nobody will be added who are using 28.8. And tomorrow, they're going to use 1 megabit.
Well, yeah, the cable modems are ADSL.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we know. That's why we still work here, because we figure we have good jobs.
You're listening to 850 The Buzz and Computers 98. And Larry finally found a hair. I mean, a hair.
Now, wait a
headset. Larry found a headset. And anybody, any of you who's looking at Larry's picture on the web knows that Larry has all his.
I have all my
in place.
Hair.
Yep.
I have no voice, but all my hair.
Yeah. Yeah, Larry, you didn't feel good this week. You're over it now, but I mean, you got things lingering there.
The Raleigh crud that everybody has.
Oh. You've been listening to what we were talking about here, about fixing the Internet.
I have to say, though, in all fairness to Cisco, is that they've done a very good job.
Oh,
I mean, our purpose is not really to bash them.
No.
And because I know there are a lot of people out there in the audience who are, you know, the Cisco has a large operation here. It's a nice rivalry, let's put it that way, in that...
If there is no rivalry, the users don't win.
Absolutely.
There has to be. This is why I hate to see Netscape going away.
The issue here is very much like the automotive industry. There's got to be, you know, a Chevrolet, and there's got to be a Mercedes.
Right.
Okay? We're the Mercedes. We don't sell as many.
Now he's bashing.
We don't sell, well, I mean, you have to really compare them, apples and oranges.
No, I understand. No, it's not bashing one company or another. It's saying, you know, it's just like if you did have a car and... the engine was really slow on it or sluggish, you would go and have it tuned up. It's almost like tune-ups are not happening over there. Maybe they are happening, but they're not.
The problem is that the architecture doesn't allow it. When you build a piece of hardware, you have a fixed speed of your processor, you have a fixed amount of memory.
Right.
You have a fixed amount of memory that can be accessed by the operating system.
We're talking about that box that's sitting there.
The box that's sitting there. The problem that Cisco ran into, and this was something that happened with the AOL outage a while back, was that they could not handle
all that
the number of updated addresses that were coming into the router.
Okay.
And it turns out that part of the problem was that the Bay router could deal with thousands and thousands more addresses than the Cisco router could, and cause the Cisco router to go belly up.
Made it worse when they tried to overcome it by reprogramming multiple Cisco routers to handle the extra load. They changed the files, which is called an access list, and by loading the wrong access list from one router to another, you can only imagine.
Okay,
it's like changing all the keys in the entire neighborhood and wondering why people are wandering around in the street. That's exactly what happened.
Let me ask it this way: Are you guys saying that let's say that Cisco does not have a piece of hardware that could replace that older piece of hardware that will take care of this problem now?
No, they absolutely
they do.
They
okay,
absolutely
now
do.
Let's stop right there. I feel like I'm in court. that's good. Now, is it again? Here's the practicality. Is it not practical? Really, is it's out of the question to take that new piece of hardware and replace the older one and configure it? So it will work, and then when the Internet 2 comes up, hey.
Well, okay. How long, if I'm on your ISP, okay, and that's InterCenter, is that what that is?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, I wanted to get the plug in.
A great ISP.
It is actually very good. They use our routers. Anyway, the idea here, let's say we had this massive upgrade for you. How long would your users tolerate downtime while you did the cutover?
Not long.
Not long at all.
Well, that's the issue, isn't it? I mean, if you're driving, it's sort of like you're driving down the road at 65 miles an hour in traffic, and your motor dies, and you get a new motor replaced while the car's in motion. That's what we're talking about here. It's very difficult to do that.
So again, it's not practical. So it's really not practical. Okay. You're listening to 850 The Buzz at Computers 98. That number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. And if you have any questions to Spence or to Steve, feel free. This is going to get hot here. Later on, also, we're going to have a guest from Miro's
Greek
Corporation. Miro's is that the company
Sub-shop.
That... produces that software with the camera. The
ocular recognition.
What's the word?
Is this the
authentication software?
The ocular authentication.
One that measures the person's face.
It measures something. And it works. I've been using it for about a month, and it does work.
That technology.
Sometimes it doesn't know me.
That technology has been used by customs. Mm-hmm. Many years to recognize people who come into the country who come in disguise. They can actually, with a camera, look at their face and measure the characteristics of their face. And it sets off an alarm for them to check out that person.
Because wow.
People have tried to come into the country disguised as
somebody
with different hair and beard and all that.
Hey, it's Elvis.
Somebody's going to call from, I guess it's in Connecticut or Massachusetts. Well, it's out to them. It's a very nice piece of software. It works. They also have different things that they open gates. It's combined with a keypad that you don't need to have a security guard anywhere. Talk about security guards. That's what, guys, we're beginning to base a lot of the news that we're getting based on security guards. This is from EduPage. You remember the company that was producing Apple compatibles, power computing? Well, they're shutting down. Power Computing Corporation, which until last summer was the fastest growing PC company in the 90s, has closed its doors after failing to make the transition from being an Apple Macintosh clone maker to a Wintel machine maker. The company has stopped production of the Wintel machine in December, citing parts shortages, but said it planned to start back up there early this year. According to a security guard at Power Computing headquarters, and I quote here, the show is over, the monkey's dead, and they have folded the tent. So isn't that a shame? And this is who did this?
This is our buddy Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. Who knows how many people lost their job there? And why? Just because he didn't want another company to be producing Apple clones that were a great piece of hardware, from what I hear. And I'm not an Apple user. So, yeah, they're gone. All right. Your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent or your mortgage and your car payment, 850 The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz, almost at 97. Our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication caller. And we're here with Larry Dallas.
He's
okay. He's making some sounds. Spence and Steve from Bay Networks are here with us. And we have a caller online. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning. I'm enjoying listening to this and finding out the background of what's going on the net. I, however, am struggling with just the basic problems of running Windows 95.
Okay.
There's lots of them.
I keep getting this registry problem where it says error accessing the system registry, and it says restore from backup and
mm-hmm.
restart.
It just keeps doing it again.
And it keeps doing it. And I've run First Aid 95, and it identifies a couple problems and then says it fixes them, but the error message repeats.
As we like to say, the shop F-disk format. I really don't know how to fix the registry. There are copies, but it doesn't find it out like that, and I don't use it enough to give advice about the registry.
Mm.
So far, all I heard was people saying you have to reinstall 95. And I'm getting people here saying, yeah, go ahead.
There is an issue with what happened to the registry that caused that error message. How frequently do you get that error message?
Well, actually, this is the first time I've gotten this. I've gotten registry problems before, but it's when I've done the restart, it's always, it did work. it did somehow fix it. This is the first time it's done the repeating.
It's a loop now.
Okay, can I ask you some questions about what software you've installed? Let me back up a little bit. Did it ever work? I mean, reliably. I mean, what was it bad since you installed it?
Windows 95?
Yeah. Did it come with the machine? I mean,
no, I added it.
Oh, so you put it on the machine. And what kind of machine is it? I'm just curious.
It's just a real basic. It's 486.
Yeah, and how much RAM?
20.
20 meg. Okay, very good. And how much disk space do you have?
Oh, a lot.
Okay, do you have it? Is it doubled in any way? I mean, do you have a disk doubler or any kind of...
Nope.
No, so you're straight drive. Okay, and there's only one drive in the machine?
Two drives.
Okay, a C and a D drive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you have a CD-ROM in, like, the E drive position?
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, so your system is a little bit more than your average end user or consumer machine. I mean, it sounds like you're a computer user instead of a computer user, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. All right, so that we're just trying to put you in the situation where you kind of understand where you are in the grand scope of things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Windows registry is how Windows knows what's going on and all of the various things that it can touch in terms of the hardware and programs that are installed in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you install a program, it'll add things to the registry or move things around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, depending on the combination of what you installed when and the potential for hardware failures and things like that, the registry can be corrupted to the point that it can't recover itself.
Mm.
Okay? And when people jump to the, oh, okay, format the drive and install Windows from scratch, and you're going like, oh, no, that's hours of work. What about all my programs and everything? And I appreciate all that. Believe me, can you imagine how many times I've done it? All right, so the idea here is by jumping at that conclusion, I don't want to be flippant or to tell you that, gee, your problem is meaningless or anything like that. I certainly don't want to infer that in any way, but I will also be very honest with you and say, for the amount of time that you're going to spend scrolling around with the registry, okay, mm-hmm. and trying to figure out what went wrong,
mm-hmm.
honestly,
mm-hmm.
Unless you have a lot of time to spend, I'd just go ahead and get what you need to get off that drive,
mm-hmm.
even if you have to do it from a command line, and start from scratch. Now, let me go back to why I asked you the question about the drive space and stuff you have.
Mm-hmm.
Is your extra, I take it, Windows and everything's on a C drive, right?
Right.
How big is your D drive?
D drive's not that big.
It's
older Western Digital. It's about, 400 meg.
Okay. Is it big enough to hold your stuff?
It's big enough to hold all my data.
Okay. Well, see, you are 95%. See, I got the 95 in there. There's your 30.
What about 94?
95. You are 95. It's a bunch of jokers here in the morning, right?
It's 98 now.
Well, 98.
90. Okay, you're most of the way there to solving your problem, unlike a lot of folks who would be limited to a floppy drive,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they've got to archive on, and that, you know, you can imagine how much work that would be. So my advice to you would be move everything that you can,
mm-hmm.
that you'll think you'll need in the future, over to a directory structure that you create in your D drive to make it easy for you,
mm-hmm.
and then go to the C drive with a big rubber eraser and just kind of say, look, goodbye.
Okay.
Set all the bits to zero. Start from scratch. And you'll actually save yourself a lot of time. You can either take it from me or do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
And I'll bet you were hoping that we're going to say, oh, just type this and everything will be fine. Right?
Well, you know, it is frustrating, Windows 95 with all the promise.
Yeah.
It's so difficult.
Do you have a backup device? I'd say backup or something.
No, I don't, but I use the other hard drive.
Yeah, okay.
Basically as that. But I have one other possibility, and maybe you can shoot down too, but first aid...
Let's reload. Yeah, go ahead.
First aid 95 does a recovery disk. Is it worth trying to do
that? Oh, gosh, I can't believe that people still... I had people that said, oh, my hard drive crashed. I lost everything, but I have everything on that 1.44 floppy. All this does, all that recovery disk is... gives you the ability to boot the machine in a 95 mode so you can go to the C drive and see what's there.
I thought it might have saved an old copy of the registry. That would work.
No, remember one thing. When did you make that floppy?
For the first aid, probably about a month ago.
Oh, so that's something that, it's not a 95.
No, it's first aid. It's a, you know, it's a first aid.
Then I don't know. Maybe.
You can go ahead and try it, but there's not enough on there other than to kind of recover things that you might have lost otherwise.
Okay.
Those things are stopgap, no matter what.
I never used it.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
It's another form of the same thing. It's certainly much better than the Microsoft built-in utility, but it isn't going to get you a lot farther. Since you've got that second drive there, that's really going to get you far. Of course, you might want to invest in a Colorado, that small HP Colorado that fits on the floppy drive controller.
I've got another 1.2 gigabyte Western Digital sitting around.
Is it IDE?
Yeah.
And is your BIOS new enough to accept the larger size drive?
No, I have to use the Western Digital Easy Drive.
Yeah, dynamic disk overlay?
There is a way to do it.
Yeah.
There is a way to do it. Are you on the Internet?
Well, I'm not.
Are you on the net now?
Yeah.
Okay, then you can go to www.ghostsoft.com and download a program called Ghost. And if you can put that drive as a secondary drive and Ghost and follow the instruction in the program, it will copy all the drivers, the Western Digital, everything over. It actually makes a mirror image of the original drive over there.
Hmm.
So you'll have it. And what size is your C drive now?
4 gigabytes.
Okay, yeah. If you don't have more than 1 gigabyte on the 4 gig, yeah, that's a one way. Well, that's one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. There's no easy way around it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and you're in good company too.
You can go to NT4.
Never mind.
Well, I've tried that too. Do I need to format it?
You don't need to, but it's better if you actually F disk and format, so you take out any leftover bits and pieces that don't belong there.
So F disk.
And then format, and then install 95.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Okay. 860-0850 is our number. #850 if you're a 360 communication customer. You're listening to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Yep, I know. I keep going back and back and coming back. Well, let's see. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Hi, I'm calling about the registry problem.
Okay.
I, too, have had registry problems by coincidence, I'm sure.
Go ahead.
One thing you can try before you format everything is rebuilding the registry itself. And the little trick to doing that, you start up the boot disk, you put your CD-ROM in, and I'm assuming you're able to get to your CD-ROM.
Can you speak up a little bit?
I'm assuming you're able to get to your CD-ROM. The command line.
I don't know. I mean, the caller, we don't have him online, but go ahead.
And you run the setup program with a switch. You type in setup space /T/F.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what those switches do is tell us the setup to clean out the registry and rebuild it.
The difficulty that he might have then is he might not be able to access some of his applications. That's what I thought of recommending that, and I'm glad you brought this up because there's probably a lot of people who are listening and won't call in. You know, they're sort of not, they don't want to go on the air, but they're very much relating to these issues. So could you please go over that command line sequence again for those people who are listening that want to participate, because this is the kind of thing that is going to help out a lot of people, and I very much appreciate your calling in and sharing this information.
Okay, I always like to avoid formatting the drive because that's a lot of work. You go into DOS, you're not running Windows, you're just booting up in DOS with a DOS disk, and you type, you got your 95 installation disk in the CD-ROM, and you type setup, and the spaces are important here. Setup space /P, capital, that's a capital P, I'm sorry. Setup space /P.
P as in Paul.
Yep.
Yeah.
F as in Frederick.
Space F.
Space F. Yep.
That can be a small F.
In fact, I think it has to be a small F, yeah. And that will clean out the registry. Now, you will, again, have to install your drivers. But it does have the convenience of saving your sound scheme and appearance scheme. And most of your shortcuts will work.
Well, anything is to try is better than just go ahead and wipe it. I mean, if you're already set up to wipe it, then it's fine to try.
Now, there's the other issue of the version of DOS that you have to have to boot the machine. Can you comment on that, please?
Well, make sure your DOS is coming from 95.
Okay.
Right, that's where
don't use an old DOS, that's for sure.
That's where the startup disk.
And thank you. I'm glad you brought this up because that's another you talked about the command line syntax, and that's very important, of course. Yeah. But you also have to remember that you have to boot the machine in the mode that will allow you to use that syntax. So, I'd like to thank you personally for calling this in and sharing it with everyone, because there's a lot of people who certainly will be are scrambling right now to find pencil and paper to write this information down. Spence, did you want to
add? I just wanted to say that something to consider is that whatever messed up your registry in the first place, you may go ahead and try to reinstall that program and be back where you were before.
Yes, and if that happens, you've got to diagnose. You've got to find out what it is. On the other hand, I found, especially on the web, a lot of things will just come in and mess up your registry, period.
Yes, sir.
Sure, absolutely.
And usually you can get by.
Okay.
That's it.
You haven't lived until you've installed Windows 95 over and over and over again.
Oh. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's a very good tip there. So, again, set up, /, P as in Paul, /f. And that may rebuild your, as a matter of fact, I'll try it on the next machine that comes around. I see them a lot with the bad registry, errors registry, and you just say, yeah, fix it. What a misleading piece of information there. Fix it. It's not going to fix, it's just going to go around and around and around. And you're listening to 850 The Buzz, Computers 99. Computer's 98. It's already February, and I still can't get it in.
You still use 3-1, too.
860-0850, #850 if you're a 360 communication customer. And we're talking with Steve Jackson and Spence Schumacher of... Did I say it right, Spence?
Spence, yeah, that's good. Schumacher?
Schumacher. Of Bay Networks. And... Larry,
what was that?
We have a new advertising tagline. You see it in Business Week and Forbes magazine. If you're watching some sports games on certain television markets, we've had a television commercial now. So we're actually changing our marketing, and the tagline is Bay Networks, where information flows. It's been in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, a lot of large. Big distribution newspapers, USA Today, which actually is USA Yesterday,
that's
if you think about it.
Nice thing.
Bay Networks, where information flows. If you call Bay Networks, that's how we answer the phone. Bay Networks, where information flows. Keep us in mind every time you need to move some data around.
Where
the guys to call.
I like
where
it.
Information flows.
But when we come back from the break, yes, where it flows. The voice is coming back a little.
Before we go on a break, let's see. Good morning, you're on 850 The Buzz.
I need to talk to that man bad.
Okay. Talk to the man.
I mean, I got problems. Am I on?
Yeah.
We're here.
Oh, okay.
And we have about a minute and a half, but then we can come back.
I am getting fatal errors, which is locking up the computer, and then also I'm getting a lot of these GDI.exe file. I mean, killing it. And I don't know what's causing it, but I can't figure it out. It's driving me crazy.
Always been like that?
I'm sorry?
Has it always been like that?
Yeah, and but it's getting worse.
Did you upgrade your 3.1?
Yeah, I've got Windows 95.
I know, but did you upgrade on top of 3.1?
No.
You this was a clean?
This was clean.
Okay.
It was a new 233.
And you get a lot of them blue screens?
Yes.
Did you ever have to turn the machine off?
Yes.
And when it comes back on, does it run scan disk automatically?
Yes. And then it'll say Windows wasn't shut down properly.
Right. So it does fix it every time.
Well, but then it goes down again.
Right. The things that it may be software, but it's a whole lot easier to first try and see if all your hardware is plugged in correct? I mean, if it didn't get dirty.
Yeah, it's plugged in as always.
No. What I'm saying is the memory, just jiggle the memory a little bit, rock it in place so it'll make good connections. Make sure all your cards, take them out and put them back in. That's assuming that you know what you're doing.
Yeah. That's a good assumption.
How old is the computer?
December the 6th.
Oh, so that's not there. No, that wouldn't do it.
Go ahead. I've got a hunch here. You don't have to say the name brand of the machine.
It's not a name. I mean, a friend of the fellow built it.
Okay. Check the fan on your CPU and the fan on your power supply. Okay? Make sure they're both running. Do you know that they're running now so we can save the time, or have you not checked yet?
No. No.
Okay. What is the clock speed of your CPU?
233.
It's a 233. Is it a K5 or a Intel?
Intel.
Okay, Intel is it MMX?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the fan is.
Okay, well that's. That plus the memory sims. That's what I would check.
Yeah.
Larry mentioned that. He's right on target there. It sounds like a hardware issue to me.
Okay.
First thing to check.
Just open the machine and take a look and make sure that on the processor you have a heat sink and a fan.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? You know what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Make sure that spins. Many times those things freeze and then they don't do the job.
Okay.
And also make sure that the fan on your power supply on the back of the computer is blowing out air.
Okay.
Spence,
do you notice that if the machine is cold, after a while it starts to hang?
Yes.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a temperature problem.
Yeah.
Check to see that all the vents on the machine are clear, that you don't have like a deep carpet or something blocking the vents.
Okay.
Or that you don't have something laying up against the louvers on the side of the PC.
Okay.
Because that processor just dumps a ton of heat. And if it gets to a certain point, it'll actually start to throw errors. It can write errors to your hard disk. It can start to corrupt software.
Slowly.
You might have the jumper set for the wrong voltage.
That's another.
If your 233 megahertz is a low voltage CPU, and a lot of motherboards, you have to set the jumper in order to make sure that. Do you have the book that came with your motherboard?
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure that the CPU voltage jumper is in the correct position.
Okay.
All right. At a 233 motherboard clock, you got to be there. We got to go. But good luck with that problem.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling H50 The Buzz.
Bye-bye.
And your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent or your mortgage and your car payment. 850 The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz.
Good, you got it right the first time.
Our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. And we're here with Larry.
Hello.
Hello, Larry.
I can even say hello.
You're talking.
Back.
It's back a bit.
We also have with us in the studio Steve Shoemaker and... Spence Shoemaker and Steve Jackson of Bay Networks. And those guys are turning to be a little bit more than just talking about routers. Okay. I mean, this is great.
But I wanted to ask them, because we talked briefly about what does what they do at Bay Networks mean to the average listener out there? Because obviously you sell to companies.
Well, we have two different jobs. Do you mean Bay Networks the company or Bay Networks what we do?
No, Bay Networks the company, you know, where information flows.
Actually, it's interesting to see because part of the new advertising campaign we have is the fact that the New York Stock Exchange runs on Bay Networks equipment. So that most of the financial transactions that happen in New York City run on Bay gear. And the reason why that happens is, what do people need when they make a phone call to go to a reservation center for an airline, or when they want to be able to get to their ATM machine or whatever? They want the system to work. They want to be able to get their information. They don't care how it gets there or how it gets back.
Right.
They want it to be resilient. They don't want to hear that it's down. The worst thing to do is to come up to that ATM when you don't have any money in your pockets. It's closed. You don't know why that's happening. It could be that the machine is out of money. It could be that the network is down. And typically, it's the network. But what Bay does and what we're good at doing is providing a resilient network for companies, for government, for industries, such that there are ways that if the network should fail in some way, that it can repair itself, providing redundant paths, things like that. The average person benefits from this because while they don't see what's going on in the background, it's actually providing you with some service. You're not even aware of it.
Stuff works.
The stuff works, right. Banking especially. Bay is very big in banking. Hospitals. Why? Because Bay Gear is very resilient. It has, instead of having just a single processor that handles the function, there are multiple processors in there. So if one should fail, the other one can pick up the slack. We do have products that enter the home market. And you'll see more and more of that. If you go to some retail stores and if you get computer catalogs, you're starting to see something called Netgear, which is the low-end home line of Bay products, which can give you ISDN connections to your home. It can give you small networking setups, like a very small Ethernet hub. So if you have a small business and you want to hook a few PCs together, there's a way for you to take that small network and get less than $100. You can buy a hub, and you can get Ethernet 100 megabit Ethernet cards for $39. I mean, just amazing prices. But the point is that what Bay does, we do it all the way from the low end all the way to the very, very high performance. For example, things like providing the education system for the National Guard that runs on Bay products. The National Guard trains their weekend warriors using a system that was designed and built by Bay Networks to present multimedia to all the guard sites throughout the U.S. And so these are the kind of things that people don't realize. You know, this is the gear in the background that just transports the information. We don't provide the information. We provide a way for it to get to you.
The FAA's new?
Yes, the new air traffic control system in the U.S. There are actually two systems that run side by side. One is the actual tracking of the aircraft that's done by the radar, and those flights get handed off from location to location. But there's another system that feeds that, which is the information system about individual flights. When you get on an airplane, the information about your flight is entered into a computer, and as you go across the country, it gets fed from controlling entity to controlling entity across the U.S. That information database runs on Bay Gear. And it's extremely resilient. What you hear about when the FAA, when the system goes down, is the old mainframe computers that handle the big radar scopes and provide the actual image to the controllers. But the system that provides the actual information about the flights that gets forwarded runs on Bay Gear. And it's very efficient. It's very modern.
I can tell you one thing. I read a lot of, being an ISP, I read ISP news groups. And people always say, oh, we did this to our router, we did this, and we had to do, oh, this happened, and we had to. People always work on their routers. We got that router, what was it, the middle of 95. Mm-hmm. And just to show you how good it works, I forgot the password. I never had to get in there. It's been working, never had to do anything to it.
An AM.
Nothing. And it's an AM.
An AM?
Yeah. Never had to do anything to it. And this is nice, and it's been working straight, except those few hours at Joint Fran that they went down until we brought the generator up. Yeah.
Let me play dummy, which in my case isn't very hard. To everybody out there who doesn't know, what does a router do, simply? Because we talked about it a lot, and somebody's sitting there going, what do these people, you know, what does it do?
Think about a router as a way, if you had, like, for example, I like to use this example with people who don't understand what a network really does. Is a network is really like a party line where computers try to talk to each other, right? Everybody, a lot of young people don't even know what a party line was. But what a party line is where you have a bunch of telephones all sitting on the same wire, and when the phone rings, they all ring. Because at the time, this is back in the days when they were trying to put phones out in rural sites, there wasn't enough equipment, or the equipment didn't exist to have, you know, dialing facilities and all this stuff to switch these people around. So people were on this party line, and the way you could tell who was getting what call was sometimes by the ring. They'd have a different ring for each person. So a network is like that, except instead of using a different type of ring, you use this hardware address. The hardware address is the is an address that's assigned to each PC in the network so they can talk to each other. The applications talk to each other. But what happens when that network gets so big that you can no longer have that number of PCs on one network? You have to start to segment it. That's when we created something called bridging. So everybody doesn't have to listen to everybody else's conversations, only the ones intended for you. Well, now what happens when you want to link together networks across distance instead of just like on the same campus, which is one scenario? Well, now you want to link your campus with another campus within the same company or two cities together for internet sites or whatever. Now you're talking about sending what is commonly local area network information across what we call the wide area, which is the great telecommunications cloud in the sky. How are we going to reliably get that information from my local network to your local network, my house to that internet site, or my business to, you know, some other contractor that I use reliably? Unfortunately, you can't run a direct wire. So what a router does is, in this giant cloud, which is really just a whole bunch of paths, like you can get from here to Washington by taking maybe 50 different routes,
mm-hmm.
different roads, right? One is more efficient than the other, but they're all viable. They all work. One will get you there faster. One will get you there slower. You might enjoy the view better one way. You might, you know. What a router does is it picks or tries to pick the best path through this network for you to get your information. It's as simple as from one site to another, or as simple as from one site through another site to another site to another site to get to your end destination. But a router handles the addressing and it handles the forwarding of that information, and it doesn't care who's on either end, and it doesn't care whether you're happy with what you're hearing. It just forwards the information, and it does it in a very efficient manner that the routers kind of get along real good with each other. They sync up on each other, and they just start exchanging information, and they start to do it very fast.
Yes.
We need to break away for the hour.
But this was good.
This was very good. And no, I want you to, what I was going to say, I mean, you guys are looking at me, but I want to make sure that you remember where you stopped.
Okay.
Because there was this is very important for the rest of the, for the audience to learn about.
Because there was a comment or a published article a few months ago or in the summer when they were talking about big problems on the internet coming. And they said, the big problem is going to be with routers. And that's what
it's got to do with the fact that the ones that are out there today maybe can't handle the number of addresses, the people that are coming up on the network. Thousands and thousands of people getting on the internet every month.
Okay.
So now we got a break.
So your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent, your mortgage, and your car payment, 850 The Buzz.